there are some things in life I just don't understand. Probably never will. About 33%, a third of all women, will be either physically or sexually abused at some time in their life. I don't understand that. It's not right, and it's not fair. Our guest, Jan Coates, is one of those. In addition to that, a mother who loses her son, her only child, to a drunk driver. I don't understand the fairness of that. Jan Coates is that mother. She talks about her struggles and talks about the victory in this book called Set Free by Jan Coates. It's a book that you can find in your local bookstore. We want to find out more about her story. Welcome to the program, Jan Coates. Hi, Jan.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, let's start with your story. First of all, the abuse. When did that start for you?
Started at a very young age. I cannot remember, even as a toddler, not having a crazy kind of house. Mm. Certainly, I was not Beaver Cleaver's sister. Mm. My mother was a paranoid schizophrenic, manic depressant, mm-hmm. an alcoholic, and she was also addicted to all sorts of drugs. So, as you can imagine, living with a mother like that, she couldn't help it. But at the time, I thought it was me. I thought I was the one that was causing all the disruption, because kids do that. Right. And so from my early ages on through my teens, I was beaten, emotionally abused, neglected, locked in closets, you name it, I experienced that. And my dad was a godly man, and he took us to church three times a week. But he also had his own business, and that required him to work 15, 18 hours a day to support his family. So he had no idea of the depth of the damage and the abuse that was going on. And usually a mother like that will pick one child, and that will be the one that is the troublemaker in her mind, and I was that child.
Now, I would think when you're really young, you think this is normal. But as you grow older and you talk to your friends, you find out my friends aren't locked in the closet. They're not beaten.
No.
And that must really hurt when you find out that this isn't the norm.
It did hurt. But as a little child, I thought I did something to upset my mother. I thought I caused it.
Right.
But it was like I was 6 or 7 years old, and some of my mother's dysfunctional relatives would come and live with us, and my dad, the good-hearted man, gave them jobs in his business. And that's when the sexual abuse started for me. So from the time I was about 7 years old until I was almost 12, I was sexually abused on a regular basis, even though we went to church three times a week. And in the meantime, all of this was going on, and I just felt so guilty, so dirty, so soiled, so full of shame, that the day that I was baptized, I was baptized at 9 years old, and I knew scripture. I went to GA, Girls Auxiliary, in the Baptist church, and
right.
and although I'd walk around with my head down, I didn't want anybody to know too much about me, because for fear they wouldn't like me if they knew what was how badly I was treated at home, thinking that, what, she probably deserves it. You know, that's
right.
how kids think.
Sure.
And the night after I was baptized, in my bedroom, I was sexually abused. Mm. So again, it was like smack, smack, smack. And I know it was Satan saying, you know, hey, you deserve all of this. Mm. And I believed all those whispers from Satan.
Now, Jan, it's one thing to experience such trauma as you experienced. Tell me about what takes place in the heart. Tell me about later on in life, the consequences of experiencing such hurt and heartache as you've experienced.
We're open about this today, but when I was growing up, child abuse was a hush-hush topic. It was never discussed, and people would turn their back. But as I did research, I realized now what happened to me. But at the time, I just felt unworthy of God's love. So by the time I was about 14 or 15 years old, I hid from God. And I used to sit in the car when my father would take us off to church. My mother would be in mental hospitals, and he'd take us off to church. I'd sit in the car and smoke, thinking, I can't go into that church. I'm not good enough. And so many people feel that way.
Right.
And it hardened my heart. Yeah, I had an inner rage in me that was just like a tornado constantly going on. I was angry. I was promiscuous. And I did things I'm not proud of. But I know now that I was acting out. The only kind of love I thought was acceptable for men that were in my life other than my father was sexual love.
How difficult then is it for you to write the book, for you to then go back and revisit the memories and the experiences that must have resurfaced all of the feelings?
Well, of course it did, and I argued with God, and I absolutely know how Jacob felt. I said, God, no. Today I have two adopted kids, and I said, God, I'll make a deal, God. I'll write about pro-life. I'll go in front of the abortion clinics, and I'll pray, God, but don't make me write this book. I don't want to. But it was like I was so empowered and so on fire for the cause. I started doing research and so on, and as I got into crisis pregnancy counseling, I realized that I was not alone. And writing the book was difficult, Chuck. It reopened all the pain and the agony. And as I interviewed women to be a part of the book, I relived their pain. But in essence, also not only going through their pain, but I healed more, and as did the women that contributed to the book.
Let's talk about that, because our time is slipping by. Let's talk about the healing process, because you make it a point. There are six people's stories that you talk about in the book that are weaved through the book, and your struggles and their struggles. But it's not just an issue of, well, let's all just lament our struggles. You really go from victim to victor, that there really is a possibility of setting your heart free. You've experienced it. So for somebody watching today, what is the process of becoming free from yesterday's pain?
Well, the first process is, and I list all these steps in my book, Set Free, and it's not about our power, it's the power that we find in the Lord. And the first process, because we feel unlovable, we've made ourselves unlovable in a lot of ways, we're trying to be who we think we are, mm-hmm. is to accept the love of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that is the empowering freedom through Him to begin us on our setting free healing journey.
But here's the struggle, though, Jan. Accept the love of this person who should have stepped in. How can I love a God who should have stopped this in the beginning, who should have saved me? How many times did I pray as a little girl, please don't let this happen to me again, and it happened night after night after night. How do I accept the love of somebody that I'm so angry with?
For me, I wasn't angry because I knew that God was with me the whole time. I used to pray when I was locked in the closet, God, please don't let my mother kill me. I'm here. Mm-hmm. He didn't. I'm still alive. And that's a false lie that we believe. And it's absolutely not true. God was with us every single moment during our abuse. And God did not, but because of man's free will, God did not make my abusers harm me. Right. They harmed me on their own free will. So that has nothing to do with God, but getting over that hurdle and saying, okay, I think I'm in love, but you see good in me and you love me because you created me. Okay, I can start there. So that's our starting point.
Okay. Now, you mentioned to me earlier that churches are actually picking up this book and saying, we finally are recognizing the problem and are going to offer help for those who are wounded. And they're actually starting set free classes inside the walls of the church. That must excite you.
Excite me. I am amazed at what God is doing with this book. I'm looking at churches all over that are sending me emails. I'm looking at psychological clinics like Meyer and New Life Clinics. The American Association of Christian Counselors is looking at this to help. Everyone is pitching in, and the churches are starting support groups, as they do with other broken people, and saying, okay, we're going to start a set free group, and how many people want to come in? And the people are raising their hand and saying, finally, you're reaching my wounds. so awesome.
Well, the book is available, but if you want more information of how to form a set-free class in your church or in your organization, simply go to her website, Jan Coates' website. To get there, go to familynet.com. We are linked to Jan's website. If you want to find the book and certainly start by walking your way through the book, it's called Set Free, God's Healing Power for Abuse Survivors and Those Who Love Them. You can find it at your local Christian bookstore.
Jan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan. God bless you for being a survivor and hanging in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we are going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with some closing thoughts to today's program, tell you what's coming up next. Come on back and join us.
Don't go away.